Today, just don't mention stagflation as uncertainty rises. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and probably news. On Wednesday, we got the latest FOMC rate decision from Jerome Powell and the Fed following their first meeting since President Donald Trump's sweeping tariff announcements last month. Powell made it clear in the subsequent press conference that the US economy, based on the bulk of available data, is still tracking well. And whilst the risks of seeing higher inflation and unemployment have risen, they held interest rates steady and significantly made it clear that they won't be rushed into lowering borrowing costs until there's more certainty on the direction of trade policy, which of course will have to come from the White House. So the benchmark federal funds rate stayed at the range of 4.25 to 4.5%. That's where it's been since December.
The unemployment rate remains low, and the labor market is at or near maximum employment. Inflation has come down a great deal, but has been running somewhat above our 2% longer run objective. In support of our goals, today the Federal Open Market Committee decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged. The risks of higher unemployment and higher inflation appear to have risen, and we believe that the current stance of monetary policy leaves us well positioned to respond in a timely way to potential economic developments.
Powell did acknowledge that consumers and business sentiment had darkened amid the erratic tariff announcements, but this does not drive the rate change, preferring to see the outcomes and data ahead before acting. We can be patient, he said. He also observed that recent weaker GDP data might not be telling the whole story.
Following growth of 2.5% last year, GDP was reported to have edged down in the first quarter, reflecting swings in net exports that were likely driven by businesses bringing in imports ahead of potential tariffs. This unusual swing complicated GDP measurement last quarter. Private domestic final purchases, or PDFP, which excludes net exports, inventory investment, and government spending, grew at a solid 3% rate in the first quarter, the same as last year's pace. Within PDFP, growth of consumer spending moderated, while investment in equipment and intangibles rebounded from weakness in the fourth quarter. Surveys of households and businesses, however, report a sharp decline in sentiment and elevated uncertainty about the economic outlook, largely reflecting trade policy concerns. It remains to be seen how these developments might affect future spending and investment. In the labor market, conditions have remained solid. Payroll job gains averaged 155,000 per month over the past 3 months. The unemployment rate at 4.2% remains low and has stayed in a narrow range for the past year. Wage growth has continued to moderate while still outpacing inflation. Overall, a wide set of indicators suggests that conditions in the labor market are broadly in balance and consistent with maximum employment. The labor market is not a source of significant inflationary pressures. Inflation has eased significantly from its highs in mid-2022, but remains somewhat elevated relative to our 2% longer-run goal. Total PCE prices rose 2.3% over the 12 months ending in March. Excluding the volatile food and energy categories, core PCE prices rose 2.6%. Near-term measures of inflation expectations have moved up, as reflected in both market and survey-based measures. Survey respondents, including consumers, businesses, and professional forecasters, point to tariffs as the driving factor.
Powell underscored that uncertainty over the scope and scale of tariffs and the outcome of looming trade talks will keep policymakers on hold for now, and that they may have to take some tough choices between lowering borrowing costs to support the jobs market or keeping them elevated to contain price pressures. The scenario of both higher inflation and higher unemployment is a bit of a nightmare for central bankers because they, on one hand, would want to lift rates to quash inflation, but also cut rates to stimulate employment, which is the very recipe for stagflation.
If the large increases in tariffs that have been announced are sustained, they're likely to generate a rise in inflation, a slowdown in economic growth, and an increase in unemployment. The effects on inflation could be short-lived, reflecting a one-time shift in the price level. It is also possible that the inflationary effects could instead be more persistent. Avoiding that outcome will depend on the size of the tariff effects, on how long it takes for them to pass through fully into prices, and ultimately on keeping longer-term inflation expectations well anchored. Our obligation is to keep longer-term inflation expectations well anchored and to prevent a one-time increase in the price level from becoming an ongoing inflation problem. As we act to meet that obligation, we'll balance our maximum employment and price stability mandates, keeping in mind that without price stability, we cannot achieve the long periods of strong labor market conditions that benefit all Americans. We may find ourselves in the challenging scenario in which our dual mandate goals are in tension. If that were to occur, we would consider how far the economy is from each goal and the potentially different time horizons over which those respective gaps would be anticipated to close. For the time being, we're well positioned to wait for greater clarity before considering any adjustments to our policy stance.
And the core problem, of course, is with their dual mandate of both keeping inflation within band and also ensuring maximum employment. How do you balance the two? Powell said, it's not a situation where we can be preemptive because we actually don't know what the right response to the data will be until we see more data. We'll have to be patient. Clearly, the FOMC is waiting for conviction of whether the next move is a cut based on the economy moving towards a recession, or whether it's a move towards a more restrictive policy due to high inflation becoming entrenched in the economy. Or in other words, they will react as the data emerges and as the White House dictates fiscal policy, trade policy, and the rest. This is a wobbly path with, for example, the news that the Trump administration was planning to lift restrictions on chips used for AI, which boosted tech shares recently. Powell has been on the receiving end of severe criticism from Trump for not cutting rates. In his back and forth with reporters, the Fed chair emphasized the White House was in a better position to resolve the mounting risks and uncertainty, and indeed appeared to be moving in that direction. US and Chinese officials are set to meet next week in Switzerland to discuss the tariffs, and the US and the UK are expected to announce something on trade today, but it is probably a narrow agreement around tariffs. We'll see. Powell was clear that it seems we are entering a new phase where the administration is beginning talks with a number of important trading partners, and that has the potential to change the picture materially. In other words, the Fed is very much at the whim of policies coming out of the White House. They're reactive, no longer masters of their universe. While markets are expecting about 3 interest rate cuts this year, with odds of a cut as early as July at 85%, most analysts don't expect the Fed to lower rates at its next meeting in June because of the lag in data incoming. And they still may not cut, depending on the outcome from trade discussions. Actually, the market still expects the Fed funds rate to be at 3.5% at the end of the year, which, by the way, is substantially unchanged since Liberation Day. The 145% tariff on China, by the way, if that stays in effect, is really more of an embargo than an extra tax, as few in the US would buy anything from there if they could possibly find a replacement. While shortages are logically more of a risk than price rises, it's still unclear what the impact will be, and those planned talks in Switzerland over the weekend may not go anywhere. All this means that while the Federal Open Market Committee just pronounced that the risks of stagflation are rising, actually no one seems to care. On the other hand, oil prices are lower, which is good for inflation, but that could also be a signal of weaker demand, and there is a question of whether those lower market prices will in fact get translated to prices at the pump. We'll see. Other central bankers are more likely to cut rates as the tariffs will act as a brake on already weak growth. The Bank of England, for example, who meets today, is likely to cut rates again in the UK on the back of a slowing economy there, despite inflation likely to be around 3%. And the RBA will meet later, perhaps with a similar thought in mind. Actually, in Australia, money markets are fully pricing in a move on May the 20th to 3.85% and are expecting more rate cuts than in the US. Traders ascribe a total of 110 basis points of reductions by Christmas, which would take the benchmark under 3%. And in currencies, the Australian dollar lost some of its shine after scaling a 5-month peak on Wednesday. It dropped a full cent. having jumped nearly 9% in just a month. But the key observation from the Fed is how they are backed into a reactive corner, waiting for new data to update their models and trying to understand that if stagflation does end up as the outcome, then their playbook becomes, well, very complicated indeed. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.